All right. Shabbat Shalom. All right. Tapping with technology here. How many know Yah is good? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is today. And you know, it's a privilege and honor to be here this morning. You know, last night was supposed to be my turn. And then after talking for a little while and sitting there listening, you know, all was being said last night, and all of a sudden Pastor just, he says, well, if you want to take tomorrow, you can, no problem. I said, I got material. I got some stuff that, I was hoping to share last night, but I kind of got in a little late. But, hey, you know, Yah gives another chance, an opportunity to speak his word. And this he asked a question the other night at Bible study about the, what does a deacon look like in Hebrew? So this is one of the things I found, because he's able to teach. He's able to share, to help. So, we're not going to get into that at the moment. We're going to save that for another time. But this is one of the things, one of the qualifications that he does in the church world. So anyway, and I'm glad to be a part of that. Well, we're still in, we've been in Genesis 43 for quite some time. And that's I believe that's the reason why he's here, because there's things happening around the world that maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not aware of. So I'm here this morning to help make us aware of it. As much as I can. I'm going to try not to lollygag a whole lot. Lauder or linger. It's just when you want to express to the best you can about who he is and what he does for us. When we don't see it, he's working. So, but before we go to our text in Bereshit, let me just read a little something, because it's no coincidence that we're in Genesis 43 this time of the year. And if I had to title this message, It would be the greatest show on earth, because the earth is about to see the return of the King that's coming. And what a show that's going to be. Things are going to be happening, you know, around. Should the believer be aware? We should be aware of it all, because his word is right there. We should not be ignorant about what's going on or what's happening. We should at least be up to par, up to standard, you know. And how we do that? By his word. Because his word is going to tell us what to look for, signs to look for. And what was one of the signs that Yosef told his brothers? Unless you got Benjamin, you ain't doing no business here in the land. So we got to have our Benjamin with us. And you know, in Benjamin, he represents a type of Yeshua. So man, all these parallels was going off last night, and man, it was just going off in my head. Unbelievable. So I just want to thank y'all. In John 14, verse 1. I'm probably going to go to the text, but let's see what I want to start off with our master. Because if anybody I want to hear about, I want to hear what he has to say. In John 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Elohim. Believe also in me." That's volume right there. Because why? A lot of the scriptures say a lot of men's hearts are going to be failing in that day. Things are going to be happening. Fear is going to grip. You don't think these brothers wasn't in fear? They think they wasn't in trouble? When they got to go back to Mizraim, they pleaded with their daddy, look, we got to have him, or else we ain't getting no grain. We're not going to survive. This is where the story leads you to. We have to sit down and pay attention to the word. So he tells us believers, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, believe in Elohim, then believe in me. We have to believe in our Father, the one that provided for us, the one that has gotten us here, the one that holds the very breath in his hands. He said, in my Father's house are many staying places. And if it were not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, there's other teachings out there that teaches different. I'm going to just stick with what the master says. I'm going to stick with what he said, because he said, in his Father's house, or if you want to use mansion, because that's the King James version of it. In a mansion, there's a lot of rooms in a mansion. He's going to prepare a place for you in one of these rooms. We got opportunity to live with the master. He says this. You know, I was just on TV the other day. They were showing that Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, we all know who Shaquille O'Neal is. He lives in a mansion. He has 15 bathrooms. And go and 20 plus rooms. That's a mansion. That's Beverly Hills mansion. Can you imagine what Yehovah has? Eye has not seen, the scripture said. Ear has not heard. Well, what we have is what we have in the world. So we got to take him at his word. But in his house are many staying places. He said, and I go to prepare a place for you. I shall come again. Where is this leading back to? Where the brother? They got to return back again to Mitzrayim. He said, and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be too. So I'm going to spend a whole lot of time, but I just want to point out this word come and again. And to come is 2064 economy. It means to come of person, come from a place, from another. How many know he's going to return from another place? And it goes into pretty much further detail, but it's first mentioned in Matthew. The word come is mentioned in Matthew 2:2. I had to slow down. Because he talked about, we want to see him was born King of the Jews. We want to come and pay homage to him. It goes to that. Again, the word is G3825. The word is palin. It means anew or again. Renew or repetition of action. Again, anew. You know when he comes, he's going to come anew. He's not going to come as a servant like he was. He's going to come back as a king, ready to rule. Because why? The earth is full of unrighteousness. It's going to be chaotic before he returns. And the scripture warns us about these things because he tells us. You know, even our master says, these are some of the signs to look for. And I'm going to try to get to it, but I don't know. But just wanted to point that out. I mean, it was first mentioned in Matthew 4:7, which was in Matthew last night. He said, this is on the mountain. Yeah, I mean, in the wilderness, not on the mountain, in the wilderness, when he's having this confrontation with Hasatan. And you remember in verse 6, he was talking about the bread last night. And now he's talking about, is written again. So this, he's letting them know that this has already been down way before you trying to trick him. I mean, but the enemy will try. Because there's going to be a lot of deception, a lot of things going on. We got to be prepared as believers. Not to hear. You know, this is required of us. But it's out there that we have to be ready, be prepared for what's to come. He says in verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, Matthew's telling us, there's a way that we know that's right. Then the world says, he also tells us the way that seems right. But his end is death. But he said, you know this way. The way of it. And he's going to explain to us the way. Thomas said to him, now this is where we come in. Master, we do not know where you are going. And how are we able to know the way? He just told us. There's a way that we know. But we doubt in his word. Because why? When things happen, we start doubting. But he tells Thomas right here, let me explain it to you. Slow down. It's a little exciting when you get here. He said there, Master, we do not know where you are going and how are we able to know the way? Yeshua said to him, and he's going to tell him direct, I am the way. There's no other way in your life. We might think there's another way, but there is no other way for you and I, but through his word and the life that he lived, and that's how we got to live. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That is the way. That's our only access. The brothers didn't go straight to Pharaoh. What Pharaoh said? Go to Yosef. So we're seeing this right here just in a little bit because it has to be a model. It has to match. But I just want to point that out because that's just a little foundation here. I'm not going to spend time in this chapter because I want to go back to our text back in Genesis 43. But there's a way that's been laid out for us that we know, that our master said we know. We don't want to be like Thomas. We don't want to be doubting his words. We want to hold on to his word, because his word is what? Their spirit and their life, their truth. So back in Genesis 43, and looking at verse 10, this is where last night I was going to start from, but I get to do it today. So y'all bear with me, because let me tell you, every subject is a big subject. There's nothing small or shallow about his word. It takes time to go in there and to look at these words and how to pronounce them, how to say them, how to share them, because we want to do the best we can to represent him. It said, for if we had not delayed, truly by now we could have returned this second time. Are we preparing ourselves for the greatest show on earth, for the return of our King, of our Master, the one we call Master, not just on Shabbat, but on Sunday, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Are we ready for Him to return? And what a coincidence that we're right here, and what's coming up? Teruah. I don't think there's no accident we're falling up in this passage right now. Because He's fixing to return. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we preparing our hearts? Let me tell you, I've been going over this for a couple weeks now, and it's been welling up. Boy, and it's like, Brother Rob, you get the fleece on when you're up here. But it's so good. The word return is the word shuv. It's H7725. Now, shuv, if you go to it, let me tell you something. It's a really big subject. It has a lot of definition to it. It has a lot of words, a lot of meaning. Spend time with it. Go, because it takes a little time to read through it. To shuv is to return, to turn back. From what? To Him. Turn back to His word. Remember, the world has His way, but Yehovah has His way. One road leads to death, one leads to life. We're here at the crossroad right now, in the time of our life. We're at the crossroad. We're here for our children. We're here for our grandchildren. I don't know about you, but I have children out there. To return, to go back, figuratively, spiritual relations, to turn back to God, to Yah. It also means to repent. So this goes on. So just take time. You can either turn away or turn toward Him. It's your choice. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. And hopefully today, after today, we make the right choices in life. We made so many bad choices. It's really hard to go unright the wrong that we've done in the past. I don't know about for you, but for me it has. But I have to live it every day. I have to face it every day. Every day I got to face my junk. But I'm not alone. He said, I'm with you. That's what He said, I'm with you. So we're going to go through stuff on the time. Now when you go to the ancient Hebrew, we had this before. It means turn and seat. To press the tent when you combine them together. And you know we got to press the tent. We got to stay close to Him. Because the tent represents where His word's at, where it's being taught at. Because why? We heard last night in Amos, which we had it before. There's come a time there's going to be a famine for the word. Then what do? When you can't find Him. When you need Him. We all should always need Him. But when you scroll down, it's the J and the V. It means to turn or return. Come back. This shuv. And you look at the V. In the 8421. Now I had a little time to play with some of these words and all. And play with letters. And look at it. Now this one here, it's in... It's in the Aramaic. It's tub. It's H8421. How many know it? Even in the Aramaic language, it's still time to return and turn back. To come back to give an answer. He's going to give you a chance to answer. He's going to give you a chance to plead your case. Just like when you go to court. You get a chance to plead your case. But when we're pleading, it needs to line up with what He has on record. So you get to plead. You'll give a chance to get an answer. It also, if you scroll down one more time, it goes to 7729, that returning. That word right here is Shuvah. Shuvah. If you go down one more time, Shuvah is what? Retirement, withdrawal. You know, we make retirement withdrawal from Him. We go down one more time, it's H666. It's Teshuvah. We have to return back to the source of life. This is this road, this journey. Cause, why? Because there's life in Mishraim. There's only death right now in Canaan because without no food, they're not going to make it. So they have to return and go back. But they need their Benjamin to go back. You know, and they, like I said, they don't know it. Yosef, last time Yosef remembered his brothers, he did what he said, we're trustworthy. We're going to put that to the test. Are we saying that to our master? Are we trustworthy? Because we're going to be put to the test. He's going to find out where we stand. Where's our stance with Him? So this Teshuvah, it's a reoccurrence, an answer return completion of a year, return of a year, to at the return, construct, answer, reply. I mean, you know, when all the feast days are over, guess what we're doing? We test you about returning right back. Guess what's coming over? Passover. We're going to be starting all over, brand new year. So this leads you down this trail, but you have to take your time with it. And I say take your time because you can try. Some days before you know it, time. Look, I purposely get up every morning at 3 in the morning, except for today. Today is my kind of little cheat day. But tomorrow morning, 3 a.m., I'm up. You know what I'm doing? After I've been to the bathroom, I'm right here. Because I need to know something. I need to get prepared because my turn is to be coming again. So I don't wait till my last week to say, well, I'm going to start studying, wait to hear what my brother's got to say. I want to be prepared because I want him to teach me what to say. And how it fits in is going to fit because he's orchestrating it. Let me give you a verse of scripture. In Malachi 3 and verse 6. It says, for in Malachi 3, verse 6 says, I am Yehovah, I shall not change. And you, O sons of Yaakov, shall not come to an end. You know, we're sons of Yaakov. But his word ain't going to change for you and I. It's going to be there. And sometimes it's you feel the switch, you feel the burn. And sometimes it's smooth. But a lot of times it's warning because they had the warning. Because what happened? The man vehemently warned us. Do not come back without Benjamin. He vehemently, are we paying attention to the warnings that's out there today? Or are we too busy? Or we don't have time? I want to show you something about a little time here in just a minute. Let me finish reading this. From the days of our fathers, you have turned aside from my laws and did not guard them. Turn back, shuv, turn back to me, and I shall shuv, turn back to you, says Yehovah of hosts. But you say, in what shall we turn back? Like there ain't nothing good to turn back to, really. Man, I tell you, you have a chance to answer, but he knows your thoughts. He knows the heart. He knows where you and I are in life, in your home, in your private time. Whatever you do, he knows. Look, I don't know. I have my own path that I got to deal with at my own house. My business with my own cup. You know where you are, and we got to make time for him. In our busy life and schedule, we have to make time for him. You know, so I purposely get up tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. before I go to work, and just to be there for 6. And even when I go there, I still borrow a little time, company time, because I get there at 5:30, so I got a little time to spend. Not waste time to spend. Because we wasted a lot of time in our lives. We can't afford to waste time anymore. Some of us are up in age, you can't afford to waste no time. Time is precious. So look, time is precious for me now. I'm not even up there with some of the elders. But you know what? Time is precious to me now. Let me show you something about time. I shared this with our pastor last night. I was sitting on my couch as I was going through all this last week. And as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this because back in the text, back in 43:10, the second time is age 6471. It's Piam, or Piamah. It's from 6470. It's a stroke, literally or figuratively. You can go on and read it. But it's a stroke, a beat, a foot. It's a rhythm that we get into, a cycle. How many know when you hear something, a good song or something you like on the radio or whatever, you get into the rhythm. You might even sing a little bit and you might even start clapping. This is what it's talking about. So I'm trying to get into this rhythm of every morning, get up at 3 a.m. Because I want this to be a part of my worship, a part of my time with him. Because I don't want to be like, Adam, where you at? We met here every day, in the morning, in the evening. And all of a sudden to say, you're not here? That's an issue. Where you at, Adam? You know I was coming here. So it's time. You say, well, now, let me mention this. Because then I was sitting on my couch and going through this. Just it was like a still small voice about time. He says, there's 7 days in the week. And every day you have 24 hours to spend time. Out of 24 hours in the week, in the day, What do we? How much are you giving him? How much time are we spending with him? That's 24 hours. Is a good bit. Are you giving at least 1 hour? Because what he said to his disciples, when he's in the garden, but pleading for his life, couldn't you not just stay up and watch 1 hour? He's not acting for all 24. He's acting for one. Do we have enough? Are we disciplined enough to give him 1 hour of our time? Or are we that busy? That's 168 hours in the week if you want to do the math. Out of 168 hours, you can find some time in there. You can, I'm sure you can, if you take one time out a day. Now, it's no coincidence that it's 24 hours in a day, because when you look at 24 hours, it gives you, when you look at the gematria of it, you have the het, you have the vav, and you have the aleph. And I wonder if it means staying connected to the one where you draw strength, what it represents, 24 hours. That's not my design, that's by his design. If you go back and look at it, if you write down the gematria number, you look at the letters, this is what it spells out. But to do 1 hour less, when you put this, it gives you the Zion. Now the Zion, remember, it's the cutting tool. Or are you cutting away from the one you're connected that gives us strength? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself those couple questions. This is what flooded my mind as I'm going through this. And I say, wow, thank you. I make sure I put that down because I didn't want to forget. But trust me, I didn't even need to write it down because I didn't forget it. Because I rehearsed it every day. But I want to stay connected to the one I draw strength from. In 24 hours a day, I at least got to give him an hour at the most. In Jeremiah chapter 3, let's look at something. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's no easy subject. But he loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And he cares about each and every one. And he knows that we're busy. But at some point in time, we just throw our hands back and say, yeah, okay, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to sit there and listen. Hey, look, if you want to go to the bathroom for an hour, take your phone with you. Read for an hour. Whatever you got to do, because I do it. I'm not telling you a big habit of that. But if you want to find time, there's always time. Yes, don't tell me that you got no time. You have time somewhere, somehow. There's time. Amen. You know what you got? We got to make time. When you think there's no time, make time for him. Put everything aside and say, well, I just want to make time. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, Elohim said, if a man put away his wife, and she goes from him and becomes another man's, does he return to her again? Does he shuv back to her? Now think about, now I don't think just physical. Remember we talked last night, it's physical and this is spiritual also. Think about your spiritual walk with him. Would not that land be greatly unclean? But you have committed whoring with many lovers, and would you return to me, declares Jehovah? This is speaking to the tribe of Israel. That's what we're studying about. Remember, by the way, the whole Bible is about Israel, just so you know. And who we found out, who's his chosen people? They are. And we got to take example of what to do and what some things not to do. And we have to learn from this, from our examples. He says, lift up your eyes, verse 2, on the bare heights, and see where you have not lain with men. Besides the ways you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you made the land unclean with your whorings and your evil. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a whore's forehead and refused to be ashamed. I hear some strong words coming from Jehovah, because Israel just seemed like they couldn't get it right. But that's what happened in our daily life today. If we think about this today, this happens like it's not today. We actually whore on him because we don't give him no time. So we pull away. So the thing you crave the most is what you're going to lean to. Our cravings, we got to get some maybe distant craving. Put a mint in your mouth. Or that's why they give you when you eat. When you go to a restaurant, they give you what's it called? To clean your palate? Huh? Ginger, the piece of ginger in your mouth to clean your palate. Maybe we need a piece of ginger in our mouth. You know, and spend to open up our minds, I understand, to want to spend more time with him. Shall you not from now on cry to me, my Father, Or you are the God of my youth. He's been the God of our youth since we've been born. Does one bear a grudge forever? Look at all these questions. Does one keep it to the end? See, you have spoken and done the evils that you could. Look, when I was out there, I did all my dirt. A lot of dirt. And I'm so glad he didn't write me off. Verse 6, and Yehovah said to me, in the days of Yoshiah, the sovereign, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? Now, that's a new word, backsliding. That's not common in the church world today. Nobody used that language anymore. Yah still does. He says, backsliding Israel. So think about that now in your spiritual mind. Have we been backsliding on him? Man, bro, I don't know if you can say that. I'm just telling you right now, that's what it says in the word. Don't think just physical. Just thinking in the spiritual sense. Are you backsliding on him? Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and committed whoring. That is backsliding. Well, I know where it came from. If you go back to your text, and you look at the word shub, and you scroll down shub. I was trying to hide it from everybody, you know, because I didn't want you to cheat and see it. But if you scroll down one more, just under test shuvah, you'll come to this word backsliding. It's the word, it's H4878. It's metshubah. You got teshuvah, you turn to him, or metshubah, you turn away from him. You're backsliding. Interesting. When I was going through this, it was like, oh boy. First time it's mentioned, this backsliding, is it's in Proverbs. So hold your finger right there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. In verse, let me start in verse 27. Because it's in verse 32. He said, but when your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, let them call on me, but I answer not. Let them seek me, but not find me. Remember, these days are coming. We've been talking about it. We've been saying, prepare. Look, they didn't want to believe old Brother Noah neither. He was a preacher of righteousness. But in the 600 years of his life, they learned that those who didn't enter the ark suffered. Women, children, babies, save us. This is what it goes down to. Because why? Remember, the king's returning. And he's going to return it, and he's going to clean house. What side are we going to be on? He said, let them seek me, but not find me. Because they hated knowledge. What? And they did not choose the fear of Yehovah. Noah wasn't here. I'm going to speak for all of us. Well, I'm sure we don't hate knowledge. Because we need it. We need it. But look, technology, there's stuff out there. And like I said, marketing a while back. Some stuff we can't afford to fool with. Because it goes down a dark road. He said, but because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of Yehovah. We have to choose him. He gives us this choice. They did not accept my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, let them eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own counsel. Let me tell you, eat your own fruit. Go ahead. Think that the fruit is for you. Remember, we learned that. It's not for you. It's for the others. He's not saying you're not going to enjoy fruit, but remember, why are you planting? Look, we got some trees. Let me tell you a little funny. I'm not a little funny, but a guy gave me some orange trees. Gave me five orange trees. I took two. I took the smallest one. I gave the three biggest to my father. But they got needles on that long. He said, them trees are not grafted. They're going to be sour. I said, don't worry about it. We'll plant them for future generations. It's okay. Well, I'm going to graft them later. But look, when they produce fruit, don't worry, we're going to enjoy them. It's okay, but it's for our future. Look, we need him. This word is telling, but we don't want to eat the fruit. We don't want to hold it in just for us. Because why? This calamity is coming like a whirlwind. We love now. We don't want to despise reproof. He says, let them eat the fruit of their own counsel. How many know when that's what Eve done? When Eve was deceived, she ate the fruit of her own counsel. What happened? Here we are today. We want the knowledge that only comes from Yehovah. That's where true knowledge comes from. It comes from him. For the turning away, look at verse 32. For the turning away, backsliding, from the simple kills them, and the complacency of fools destroy them. But whoever listens to me dwells safely and is at ease in the dread of evil. Let me tell you, where are they going to dwell at? In Goshen. And look, that's not going to be an exodus before they get there. Then to come the plagues. The plagues are coming. Distress is coming. But what he said? He said, those who listen are going to dwell safely. No matter how chaotic it gets. I know it looks rough. It looks scary. But let me tell you, you have a promise from the Master. This is his word. That's why I'm telling you his words today. But we got to hold on to them. We got to believe what he says. Trust, the Master says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in Elohim, then trust in me. Believe in Elohim, believe in me. What I'm telling you, I got you. But you got to stay to the one that's connected where we draw strength from. Anything else? I don't know what else we can say here anymore. So back to Jeremiah 3. So this backsliding, this is a big deal. It says in verse 7, after she had done all these, I said, return to me. He still wants you. After all our mess ups, our hang ups in life, he says, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Yehuda saw it. I mean, you know, if you're not honoring things that he prescribed for you, and other people see you doing anything, you can just get away with it too. Well, you're doing it, I can do it. That's the message you send out when you're not doing things that he prescribed for us to do. You send out a false message. And other people are watching you. They're going to see where you stand. That's why I made this comment a while back. When I took this job, this new job, the first thing I said, I'm not going to waste your time. But I'm letting you know right now, you can hire me. I'll come to work. You got me for 6 days. But Saturday, I will not be here. You can mark your calendar. Look, after that, you can do what you want. But I will not be here on Saturday. I have a place to be. I have a job. I have a responsibility. And I saw that for all the causes, verse 8, for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Yehuda did not fear, but went and committed whoring too. Look, I'm telling you, this is y'all had to get a divorce. And the only way to buy it back, well, a death had to happen. I'm so thankful for the one who paid the price. The man that we're learning about, the one that we have to have, that's the one that sat at the right hand of the Father, he paid the price in blood for us. And we're going to just take it lightly? We have to get a little more serious. Remember the last time the brothers, Joseph, remember his brother? They were in a backslidden state. No wonder why he said, when he said, oh, we're here, we're trustworthy men. Really? That's not how I remember y'all. I can imagine that playing in his mind. I know it didn't come out of his mouth, but in his mind, we got to put ourselves, we got to kind of think, you know, sometimes, you know, these things, thoughts come in our heads. So we know this. In verse 9, and it came to be through her frivolous whoring, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and wood. Now I had to look that up because I don't know what that means. It means not having any serious purpose or value. Not serious or sensible in content, attitude, or behavior, or just downright silly. I mean, it'd be silly right now to go out and leave this place, to want to go somewhere else. Leave the husband. Why we want to leave? We won't leave our head. We need him. That's where our strength comes from. He said, but because they did a thing, he had to write them a certificate of divorce. Can you imagine y'all having divorced his own people? Look, if you've never been through divorce, some of us have, let me tell you, it's ugly. It's very ugly. I'm not going into detail, but it's ugly. It'll make you mad. It'll make you glad. It'll make you almost want to put your hand around someone's neck sometime. And that goes on both sides. But let me tell you, it's ugly. Y'all not happy with that. So you can see why when I got on this sermon, I was like, oh man, I don't know how to, I don't have no choice how to say it. I'm just going to say it. And I'm how he puts it out to me, that's how I'm going to share it with y'all. Because this is what I do in my quiet time. And yet, verse 10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Yehuda did not turn to me with all her heart, but falsely declared Jehovah. You can hide and you can masquerade in here all we want. Let me tell you, he knows. He sees. He knows what you're doing and what you're not doing. He knows if you're in a backslidden mindset in the spiritual side or you're not. Because you want, he sees right through us. He ought to know he created us. We just sang the song, he knows my name. But do we know his? Do we truly know his? Of course he knows. He knows every name in the world. He created names. But do we know him? Or how do we represent him when we get up every day and we go out into the world, because we're in the world, but we're not a part of our, what's our posture? And Jehovah said to me, verse 11, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, O backsliding Israel. Declares Jehovah, return, O backsliding Israel. Shuv. We have to shuv back to him. And I shall not look on you in displeasure, for I am loving committed, declares Jehovah, and I do not bear a grudge forever. That was one of the questions. Does one bear a grudge forever? You go through divorce, I guarantee you hold a grudge for a long time. It might not be forever, but you'll hold it for a long time. He doesn't do that. He doesn't look at you in displeasure because we cheated on him. We don't want to spend time with him. It's too early. In the afternoon, I'm tired. So I don't know about y'all, but in the afternoon, I'm tired. So my chances of me wanting to get into a dive into a study late in the evening, the chances are very, very low. My percentage is low in the afternoon. That's why I have to discipline myself every morning to want to. But we you go through divorce, you look at displeasure on your spouse, or what used to be your spouse. Or boyfriend or girlfriend, you have a breakup, and you look at them in displeasure. I'm just saying. Verse 13, only acknowledge your crookedness, because you have transgressed against me, transgressed against Jehovah, your Elohim, and you have scattered your ways to strangers under every green tree and have not obeyed my voice, declares Jehovah. He's telling us. We have to acknowledge. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You have time. You're still breathing? Hey, make the wrong right. There's time. Because why? What's coming? What's to prepare? It's going to be the greatest show on earth. Are we going to be ready for that show? Let me tell you something. There's no circus. There's a lot of clowns, but there won't be no circus. Transgress is 6586. I know y'all know what it is. It's to rebel. Pasha. To rebel is to revolt, transgress in the KO form, to rebel against. Oh boy. I'm going to share something here when y'all get a little further down. Because it's I didn't catch it till later on. After you go over something for a while, get repetitive, you might catch something that you didn't see the first time. So in verse 14, let me just move on. It says, return, O backsliding children, declares Jehovah, for I shall rule over you and shall take you, one from a city and two from a clan, and shall bring you to Sion. He wants to use each and every one of us. But we have to return back to him. And I shall give you shepherds according to my heart, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. How important that is. This is why we get out of town. When Pastor asked me, hey, look, you can do tomorrow. I'll take your place I did last night for you. Yeah, I want to go tomorrow. I kind of kept it low key because I wanted to be surprised to everybody. Y'all should see your faces when you'll see your favorite pastor ain't up here. Smile a while and give your face a rest. It's exciting when you come up here. It really is. You feel the pressure, but Lord, let me tell you, it's really exciting to be a part of what he wants you to do, to be a light to the nation. Because why? The one that's come from the north, remember, just back up, look, and he said, you come from the north? Remember the tribe of Ephraim? They spread out all over. That's why Yeshua came. He said, I'm here only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's a lot of lost sheep out there. So we need shepherds. He said, I'm going to give you shepherds to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is deo. That's the knowledge of Yehovah. When you pull up the strong one there, 1841, it's knowledge of Yehovah. You know, there's other knowledge out there, but he don't want you to tap into that. He warned us about that. Understanding is H7919, Sakal. So we read it all the time. Just hold your finger right there. We're on verse 15. Hold your finger right there. And Yeshayahu, we read it this morning. In Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. I know he's talking about the master right here. But he wants to give you the same spirit. In verse 2, he said, the spirit of Yehovah shall rest upon him. I know he's talking about the master here. But he wants to rest upon you. The spirit wants to give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit and of the fear of Yehovah and understanding. He wants to give you these things. He's not being selfish. He's not only giving them to Yeshua. He wants to give them to you and I also. But there's another knowledge right here. It's in Genesis 3. And we had this before, but just to give you a little recap. Genesis 3, 5. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave all to her husband, and he ate. See, that's the world's way right there. But we don't, he told him, don't even mess with that. That's it. He gave the command. It's just very simple. Do not eat from this. Well, he created it, but don't eat for it. It's for his purpose. No, it wasn't for you and I. He gives us now. All we can do is ask. Back in Jeremiah 3:15, I shall give you shepherds according to my heart, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Shepherds according to his heart. Can you imagine having the heart of Yehovah? That's what he said about David. He said, I got me a man after my own heart. So he's saying to us right here, you can have that same heart. That's what the jobs of shepherds do. They lead the sheep. They care for them. I'm working on mine. I'm working on my caring and my compassion, because something men are a little shallow in. That's why we need his heart. Heart like the Father. In verse 16, and it shall be when you have increased and shall be fruitful in the land in those days, declares Yehovah, that they no longer say the ark of the covenant of Yehovah, neither would it come to heart, nor would they remember it, nor would they visit it, nor would it be made again. And at that time, Yerushalayim shall be called the throne of Yehovah, and all nations shall be gathered to it. This is future time right here coming. To the name of Yehovah, to Yerushalayim, and no longer to walk after the stubbornness of the evil heart. Well, that's got to be a change. And that when he's going to come to that rule, your heart going to submit to him, you either be for him or you're going to be against him. We want to be for him. This is why we preach the warning. Be prepared. Get ready. Let's get our act together. Get our act together. We got to get it right. That's for sure. We had enough actors in the world today. We don't want to be acting. In those days, the house of Yehuda shall go to the house of Yisrael, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your father. Now you know that's land that's been out there, designed for the children of Israel, that we are part of. You're part of that land and inheritance. It says, but I said, how would I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a splendid inheritance of the host of nations? And I said, call me my father, and do not turn away from me. Do not shuv away from him, from instructions, for everything that we need for our daily living. He promises these things. And we have to hold on to his word. It says in verse 20, but indeed, when a wife betrays her husband, so have you betrayed me, O house of Yisrael, declares Jehovah. That betrayed is ugly. It's treacherously. It's called begat. And it's the way of that is disloyal, faithless, or deceitful. This is toward him. This is spiritual. Toward him. We have to make some adjustments. I believe we've got to make adjustments in our lives. I know I have. A voice was heard on the bare heights, weeping, supplication for the children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten Yehovah their Elohim. But what had happened in the early life of Yosef? They perverted it. They perverted the way. They were disloyal to their daddy. They were disloyal to their brother. They threw him in the pit. At one time wanted to kill him. So what do you think he remembers? They were in a backslidden state. So what do you think Yosef remembers? But I'm so thankful. And in that pit, he suffered, you know, and then when the day came, for all that, when he had that first child, Menashe, he said, causes me to forget. Forget what? All the trouble he'd been through when new life came to him. Well, I'm telling you, what a time in Yosef's life as a young man. Then to see his brother's scripture being fulfilled when they prostrated themselves before him. Can you imagine? You know, we read it, but we got to sort of really grasp try to do our best to put ourselves there in that time. Because it paints a picture for us. It really is beautiful. So he went through some stuff, but I'm so glad that his integrity, even when faced with Potiphar, with the assassin's wife. No. Can't do that. Run out of the house. Let me go to 21. A voice was heard on the bare heights, weeping, supplication of the children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten Yehovah, their Elohim. Look at verse 22. Return. How many times you got to say that? Return, backsliding children, and I shall make your backsliding cease. See, we have come to you, for you are Yehovah, our Elohim. They had to go down to Yosef. Goodbye. Yosef was the man that had all. He had all the money. He owned the people. He owned the cattle. He owned all the grain. We need it. We got to return. You got to return to the man. That's what he's saying right here in the spiritual. We have to return to the man because he's coming. He is coming. Now look at something that's returned. I didn't catch this till later on. This return. This backslide. I'm not going to return. I'm sorry. Backsliding. It's H7726. It gives us a different word here compared to the first word. It's Shavah. It's from 7725, apostasy, that is idolatrous, backsliding, forwardly, turning away. Pretty much the same definition. Except this one word here in the bound driver's brig caught my attention. It's recusant. Maybe these young generation might know, but I don't know what that is. Recusant, are you ready for it? Is a person who refuses to submit to an authority or to comply with the regulation. Is that you and I? Are we refusing to submit to his authority? Remember, we got to get used to the hand. And it takes some getting used to. It takes some discipline. Or someone who refuses to participate in a social expected activity. Someone who refuses to participate in a social expected activity. And guess what today is? A social expected activity. It's called his Sabbath. I don't own it. You don't own it. Pastor doesn't own it. He owns it. That's what it says in Ezekiel. It says, it's my Sabbath. We have to obey what it was prescribed for us. In Joshua 24:14-15, he said, but that's for me and my house. Y'all can do what y'all want to do. But over here on Pace Lane, we're going to serve Yehovah. We're going to uphold his laws and his command and his right rulings. Because we're going to need him later on, not just today or tomorrow, but down the line. How much time we have, I don't know. But let me tell you, I want to be prepared, because are we getting close? I believe we're in the 6,000th year. And that new millennium is coming around where Yeshua is going to reign. And boy, we're going to be prepared. I want us to be prepared. I want to be prepared. I want you to be prepared for what's to come. Truly, verse 23, delusions come from the high hills, the noisy throng on the mountains. Truly in Yehovah, our Elohim, is the deliverance of Yisrael. That was deliverance for Yisrael when they went down to Mitzrayim. And we're going to see a part where we're going to get in there a little later on, where they stop in Beersheba, I think it is, and he makes sacrifice. And y'all going to speak to Yaakov. And he said, look, don't be afraid to go down there. He said, I'm going to sustain you while you're down there, and Yosef's going to put his hand on your eyes. Because why? That's the way for all of us. But that's not nothing for us to fear. We should prepare ourselves. Amen. But delusion, that's what happens in the end. The scripture says strong delusions are going to come. We want to be prepared. We want to know if we found a true Messiah or not. But we got to, we're going to follow his word. That's how you're going to know whether you're caught in the delusion to lie or not. And it's Sakar. And then you can go, you got to do your own homework on that. If you write down everything, I need a whole page, booklet to cover everything we look at. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We shall lie down in our shame while our reproach cover us. For we have sinned against Jehovah our Elohim, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of Jehovah our Elohim. Look, we've been on a path that was only death. So he's telling us, return, shoo. So when you go back and you look at it, you see the definition, it goes very long, and it goes to tuv and shuvah and teshuvah. So that's a prescribed path for you and I to follow. So let's look at this returning again. Well, I still have a little time. In Matthew 24, because our master tells us, he warns us, he gives a sign on what to look for, what's coming. Because everybody wants to know about the end. What's happening in the end? What are going to be the signs to look for? Well, I can tell you one sign we need to know is that Benjamin, we need to hold on to his word. Because we got to have him with us. Amen. So look at verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the tall ones came to him separately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Everybody wants a sign. Everybody wants to know what to look for. Well, the warnings are out there. Turn your TV on. You'll see what's happening in Israel. You see what's happening all over in these different places. Australia, they're already pushing for a nation to make Palestine a state. That's coming. And y'all ain't giving it up. I can tell you that. So what is the sign that they're looking for? Yeshua answering said to them, because why? The returning of our king is coming. And the first thing he says, take heed that no one leads you astray. Because why? There's going to be a lot of delusion, a lot of misleading going on in the end. How are we going to know this is true? Because I'm going to read what his word says. What to look for. So we got to wake up and pay attention. We got to test your vow back to him. Because that's the only truth that's going to save us in the end. We heard it last night. You can be prepared. You can wear all the Zeet seeds you want, and you can dress up however you want. But we got to be really, truly prepared for him to return. Because if not, we don't make it. And if we don't make it, your children don't make it. And your grandchildren don't make it. So look, it's going to be tough. Tough days are coming. Are we prepared for what's to come? Well, let's see what our master says. Take heed that no one leads you astray. And the sign, by the way, is G4592. Is a Simeon. So you can look at that on your own. And Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. And many people are going to fall for a false Messiah. They're going to fall for this one, this Jesus that rises up. And you see that's in the church. And I'm not saying that's a bad name, it's an English name. But we have to know the truth to share. Because you know what? On the job site, I got a Honduras friend over there. You know what his name is? Jesus. Jesus in Spanish. He said, like you Jesus in English. That's what he told me. It's okay. I just want you to know that many, and I'm going to say he's claiming to be none, but he said that name is out there. But you want to know the truth. So he says, many false messiahs are going to rise and going to lead many astray. And you shall begin to hear fightings. Are we hearing that today? And reports of fighting. See that you are not troubled, for these have to take place, but the end is not yet. For the nation shall rise against nation, and rain against rain, and there shall be scarcity of food, and deadly diseases, and earthquake in places. That's happening around the world. You want to know some of the signs? He's telling us what to look for before he returns. And where, what's happening in Mitzrayim in the life of Yodah? Scarcity of food, famine, it's bad. A lot of bartering, a lot of selling, a lot of trading going on. We got the money. We sold ourselves. That's how bad it's gotten over there during the time. He said, and these are the beginning of birth pains. Now this is where it gets really tough in verse 9. And they shall deliver you up to affliction. Are we ready for that? Are we listening to the words of our master carefully? Are we reading slowly? Because if you're a part of this church, you being crucified, not just now. I'm going to tell you, those who obey the commands of Yehovah and keep the testimony of you are going to suffer tough, hard times. The world of his own. You're the one the target's on. Because you're not going on their Sunday. We're staying on Shabbat the day you prescribe. You ain't no way. How do I know that? Because the word tells us that. They shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you. Are we ready? Are you sure? We have to be sure. This is how serious it is. When I'm sitting there reading this, this is serious times going to happen in the world. They're not talking to non-believers here. They're talking to those who follow the master. Because he said, Thomas, he said, all the Thomas out there, you know the way. Remember that. It says, and they shall and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You have the target is on your back. The bullseye is on your chest. The arrows are coming. And then many shall stumble. Uh-oh. And they shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. We have to be rooted and grounded in this. We have to be strong enough now before it comes, because for sure, when the time comes, I don't want to be weak and feeble and say, well, man, I wish I'd have been there. Man, you know, yeah, it's Pastor Jesse's fault. That's why we're doing this. Is that what we're going to say? We're going to deliver up one another? Or are you going to be like Peter? I don't know the man. Just think about it. Read slowly at our master's word what's to come. Because these days are all prepared. But I'm going to show you something. Before he returned, then we're going to go to one more passage. I'm going to try to get to this. That's why I'm reading kind of quick. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. He's telling us that again. Because of the increase in lawlessness. You know what lawlessness is? Not obeying his laws, not wanting to spend time with him. Backsliding. That's lawlessness. The love of many shall become cold or wax cold. But he, verse 13, he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. It's going to be, you think it's tight? You think it's scared? You might go a week without food. It's going to be tight. But what are we going to turn our back on him? We need him. We're going to need him with every ounce of life that's in us. You got to hold back. And if you go down swinging, then go down swinging is what it's going to be. But hold on to him. Look at a little honey right here. When I read over that last night, it reminded me of the honey that they brought to Mitzrayim. Because, and the good news of the rain. What? Good news? That's some honey just being served to you right there. Mm-hmm. How you going to have all this going on and good news? It's good news to the believer, for you and I, because guess the sound we're going to be listening for. It's going to be just in 30 or 40 days from now. We're going to hear that sound. You think Brother Chad blows it? Wait. Wait, when Yehovah blows, and when that's going to sound? And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. That's not before. You're not exiting nowhere. The world teaches that. Yeshua said these things are going to happen. And you, those who are here, watch. Verse 15. I had to go and read this on my private time because this speaks a lot of volume. So when you see the abomination that lays waste, we got to go take time and look on that as believers, as followers of the Master. We got to go see what this is. Spoken by Daniel. He gives us an answer. Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place. He who reads, let him understand. What? You just told me in Proverbs we hate knowledge and understanding. You better love it. Because we need to know how to, we need to know, at least have some form of knowledge of it. And let those who are in Yehuda flee to the mountains. Let those who are on the housetop not come down to take whatever out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back. Don't shoo away from him. Turn back to get his garment. And those who are pregnant and those who are nursing children in those days. And pray that your flight does not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be, verse 21, there shall be great distress. These are not my words. This is the word of our Master. Are we paying attention for his return? Such as had never been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall there ever be. The greatest show on earth, right there, is about to happen to the world. And every eye will behold him. That's what the scripture says. What a show. He says, when the lightning goes flashing and goes to the west, he says, so he's going to be returning. So we should be expecting? Yeah. And if those days, this is one of the verses last night, if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. It's going to be tough, even for the believer. But for the sake of the chosen one, he said, boy, remember, take a little honey, take a little balm, and pray for mercy, because we're going to need it. For the chosen one, those days shall be shortened. He's closing the gap. Remember, we heard that last night. Oh boy, are we getting ready? Are we really getting ready? Are we serious? Because why? Look, this might be our last time we Sukkot coming up. Right. Yeah, he can return this Sukkot. There's still time. Everything can fall into place. He can return. Well, are we ready? And if not, are we looking for him in the next year? Are we teshuvah? Are we ready for the next year to come around? And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe. For a false Messiah and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen one. There's going to be doubting times. There's going to be delusions happening. We have to prepare. I look at verse 25. See, I have forewarned you. This, what? He told him. Didn't that Yosef tell him? Don't come back without Benjamin. He forewarned him. It's the same thing the Master is telling us here. I forewarn you. You don't have to believe a word I'm telling you. Go read. Go look at his word for yourself. I'm repeating what he says. And if I got to go down for it. And that's what's going to happen. But I'm going to stand with the Master. So if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe. For as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. For wherever the dead body is, there the vultures shall be gathered. Now, he's about to, before this verse 29, let me give you a couple more verses because I know I'm running out of time. Let's look at one of the signs that we need to know from our Master. Ezekiel 20. Verse 12. Let me get this to you. Well, verse 11. Let me give it to you right quick. And I gave them, who's the them there? We got to know our personal pronoun. I gave them my laws and showed them my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. We have to live by his laws and his right ruling. That's no other way around. And I gave them, verse 12, my Sabbaths to be a sign. Well, who gave it? It's his Sabbath. He created it. He created it for you and I. He wasn't selfish. He created it for you and me. He gave them to be a sign. You don't think in the end time, those who keep his Sabbath, that's going to be a sign? We better be paying attention to the Master's words. Don't you think Yeshua knew this? Between them and me, to know that I am Yehovah who sets them apart. You know what sets you apart? The Sabbath, this day today, sets you apart from the world that's out there. You have to be set apart. He calls you to be set apart. And you should want to be set apart. I should want to be here. Look, when last night when I had to call Pastor, and yesterday evening when I found out I knew I was going to work late, I said, "Man, let me call him." Ain't like I'm going to catch him off guard, like he ain't going to have nothing to say. But I still wanted to tell him anyway, because I knew I was going to be running a little late. I just needed about 15 more minutes, and I could have pushed it. I really could have pushed the needle. But I said, "No, it's covered." I know I'm still getting my turn today, though. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Because I enjoy, I love speaking his word. I've been bowed up holding this for a couple weeks. You know, this ain't just yesterday I looked into this. Been practicing every day, repetition, getting that beat. And my dog Sylvie, she loves listening to me teach. She hears me. She's learning Hebrew. She don't even know it. Oh. He said, "But the house of Yisrael rebelled against me in the wilderness." See that? "They did not walk in my laws, and they rejected my right ruling, which if a man does, he shall live by them." We got to live by his laws. What laws? The one that Moshe wrote down for us. The one that they said, "Oh, you ain't got to go back to that." Well, if that's the case, we might as well rip Ezekiel 20 out of the Bible. "And they greatly profane my Sabbath." You know when it... "And I said, I will pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to consume them." That's what backsliding will do to you. It'll put you in that area where you really don't have to be here today. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You should always... He said, remember it. Don't forget it. It's a sign. Now look, I'm going to stop at Ezekiel because I want to go to Revelations. Because before the son of Adam comes in, before he makes his appearance in the eastern sky that we're looking for, that all these things are happening around the world, guess what else is happening? Hazatan is still at work. He ain't over. He ain't locked up yet. So in Revelation 13, while all this is happening, let me know Revelation 13 comes into play right here when the Master's telling us these things. Go look at it for yourself. I'm going to read it to you today, but go home and check it out for yourself. In Revelation 13:1, he said, "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head names of blasphemy. And I saw the beast was like a leopard, and his feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." Now this stuff is speaking prophetic. It gives us pictures and clues. So we got to go, to be good Bereans, we got to go spend time. Now, I didn't spend the amount of time like I wanted to, but I did go read Daniel. So I know what kind of these things tie into looking at it. And I was watching a video that these things help. At least familiarize yourself with why all this distress of those days is going on that the Master is telling about. Because these things are going to come to pass at the same time. When all this is happening. "And I saw," verse 3, "and I saw one of his heads as having been slain to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the earth marveled after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to fight with him? And it was given him a mouth speaking great matters and blasphemies. And he was given authority to do so 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against Elohim to blaspheme his name and his tent and those dwelling in the heaven." We're pressing to the tent. And he told me he's blaspheming against that. He's going to be blaspheming. Because why? You're holding on to the tent of Elohim. So this fight is against you. And those dwelling in the heaven, his host, because I don't really believe a bunch of us is up there and there's going to be war in the heavens fighting with you and I. because the next verse is going to tell us, a couple of verses are going to tell us. And he opened his mouth, verse 7. And it was given to him to fight with the set apart ones. So where do you think the set apart ones are at? And to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe and tongue and nation. You think you're going to go up there and overcome the set apart ones in the heavens? Come on now, that don't even sound right. But people think that. People think that they're up there, the loved ones up there, and he's telling you that you're going to fight with the set apart ones where they're at. Well, let's see. Verse 8. And those dwelling on the earth. See? That's where you're at. Where's the fight? Where Yeshua's coming back? When he's coming back? But before he returns, this is happening. This is going on the same time he's explaining the signs of what to be looking for. These things are happening. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the slain lamb. Remember the slain, that banner that we must lift up? That's what that ties back to. From the foundation of the world, shall worship him. You worship the beast and the dragon. People are going to sell out. This is where that. So you think it's going to be tough? It's going to be really tough. This is why he preached warning. He let us know to the believer. It's not going to be a cakewalk. The way I know, you know. I'm telling you, this is the way. This is what he said. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So both of us got two ears in the ear. He who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword has to be killed with the sword. Does it matter? You're holding on to the master. You're pressing to the tent. Here is the endurance and the belief of the set apart ones. Not going to be easy, ladies and gentlemen. And with time to come, we got to prepare. This is why we got to take advantage of any time, any chance we get, any time the door is open. House, it doesn't matter. Here at the church, if it's Wednesday, hey, if they go to Tuesday, you know what? Let's go to Tuesday. It's fine. Don't be angry against it. That's the reason for that, because it's to prepare us for what's to come. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he does great signs. Verse 13. So that even he makes fire come down from the heaven on the earth before men. A lot of things are going to be happening. Now, I just don't have time to sit there. This is why Midrash is important. This is a great topic. I'm so glad Pastor will be teaching Midrash. I'm telling you, it could be a tough time for the believer, for you and I. That's why he said those who got little babies and those who are, it's going to be even tougher for you. Because, look, nobody wants to see their children starving. Nobody wants to see their babies starving. But it's happening now around the world. Your babies are starving. You think it's not going to happen here? Remember, it's happened before. It's going to happen again. We have the model. And he leads, verse 14, he leads astray those dwelling on the earth because of those signs. What sign are we holding on to? Our Sabbath today. Which was given to do before the beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword yet live. Now that goes back to Daniel's stuff right here. And there was given to him to give spirit to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed as many as would not worship the image or the beast. Now you remember Nebuchadnezzar built that statue? This is where that goes, this goes back to in Daniel. There's a revolt. Three young men revolted against the king, against the image. And you know what? Their life was at stake. But that didn't bother them. He said, whether he delivers or not, he's still going to be hell. We ain't changing our mind. It's going to come down to that. Your faith will be tested. That's why your faith has to elevate. It has to increase. We got to be getting strong. We can't afford to be getting weaker. And he causes both, and he causes all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand or upon their foreheads, and that no one should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. We need it. He who has understanding, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, some manuscripts, ancient man, use 616. That's in this Bible here. Now, I looked at that, the 616, and what it was two guys, archaeologists, that got together, and they found a piece of manuscript. This is recorded stuff. And it has, talk about this part of Revelation, it had the number 616 before 666 came out. So, whatever it's going to be, I'm just telling you, I'm just sharing a little information. Whether it's 616 or 666, I don't know what the mark is going to be. I know what the sign I want to hold on to is Sabbath. Because that's the stuff that's going to carry you through these perilous times. Then after all this happens, then you can go finish reading Matthew. Then after the days of those distress, you're going to see the Son of Adam come. The church, the believer, what is our posture? We're going to go through some stuff. Now, I know I said a mouthful here. And there's no way, I just want to read it fast because I want to get in so you hear it. That way you got, we're not going to say, well, I didn't know about this. Oh, yeah, you do. You've heard it. You might not have been paying attention. You might not have been jotting it down on your notes, but you've heard it because this is coming. So, oh boy. And it talks about this. I have forewarned you. When I read that, I'm paying attention with the master because he told us, he's been telling us, I forewarned you. So this is one of these messages. Let me tell you, this is going to be the greatest show on earth because he said it'll be a joyous time. The gospel, the good news is going to be pretty. Boy, he's talking about some honey right there. That was good. But anyway, thank y'all. But it's an opportunity. I got my little 5-minute card. So hopefully this helps to get us kick-started to in time to come, because Teruah is coming. Yom Kippur is coming. Sukkot is coming. This could be our last time as a family together. Think about that. So look, as I was going through this, let me tell you, all this stuff flooding my mind. You know, so I'm just saying, he forewarns us. Just like Yosef forewarned his brother, do not come back without Benjamin. We need our Benjamin. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for your mercy.